This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today we're going to be talking about safety in relationships. And I want to describe this. The first part of the show, I'm going to describe to you exactly what I mean by safety and why it's important. And then in the second part of the show, I'm going to give you some examples and some real life things that happen that make safety at question. Then I'm going to teach you some specific skills for how to create more safety in your relationship. And then in the last section, we'll sum it all up and make sure that you understand where we're going here. This is something in my 34 years of private practice I have taught to many, many people. Primarily today we're going to be talking about safety in couples' relationships, but this can also be extrapolated to, are your teenagers safe to talk to you? Are your friends, do they feel safe with you? Do your employees feel safe? So the skills that create safety in relationships go across the board because it really helps when you can feel safe in any kind of relationship that you're in. And let's look at for a moment what I'm talking about with safety. Let's look at it as a spectrum, because so often what we deal with in psychology and in therapeutic issues, it's a spectrum across the board. So way on one side at the very light end is that kind of safety that you're just not comfortable telling this person something for whatever reason. Either they take over the subject, it's like they grab the ball and run down the field with it, or they can be critical or demeaning in a response, so you find yourself not wanting to share your truth or your innermost thoughts with somebody because you just don't really trust the response. So you're not in danger. Nobody's going to hurt you, but you find that you don't feel real comfortable. So that's down at the way, say the left end, if you put your left hand out, you're way down there, just feeling uncomfortable. Now let's go way to the other side. Put your right hand way out. That's the kind of safety where there's domestic violence, where you're physically unsafe, where you don't want to do something because you could be harmed again or harmed because the threat of harm has been out there many times. So your relationship may lie somewhere in the middle of that, where you aren't super comfortable, but you don't feel like you're going to be beat up or harmed physically or severely harmed emotionally. In prior shows, I've talked about living with a narcissist, that difficult personality, or living with someone with a difficult personality. And partners of someone with very critical, demeaning personalities, the partner often feels unsafe because they're not free to be who they are. They get criticized and demeaned a lot. And that ruins your safety. So you put yourself in whatever spot on that spectrum that you belong in your relationship or where you think is accurate for you. And I'm going to be talking about how this occurs and what it does to a relationship. So why is safety so important? I think in some ways that's a no-brainer. We all want to feel safe. Nobody wants to walk down a dark alley and get mugged. No one wants to be in a relationship where they're criticized and demeaned and told that they're a horrible person or that they, you know, why are you on this planet, basically. So we know that safety is important for those reasons. But let's look at it from a more subtle perspective. It is safety in relationships that creates intimacy. Now, let that hang there for a minute. Safety creates intimacy. And the type of intimacy I'm talking about is not necessarily sexual intimacy. And, of course, when we're talking about your relationship with friends or coworkers or your children, we're certainly not talking about a sexual relationship. But some people in relationships think that they have intimacy if they have sex, good or bad sex. Yeah, we'll get into that later. But when they think they're sexual with someone, they think they're intimate with someone. And in my office, what I'm looking for when I see a couple is not how good is their sex life, although that can be a barometer on how their relationship is doing, but I want to know how safe they feel in this relationship and how close they feel to their partner and how safe they feel standing in their truth or really sharing what's going on. And I often see that couples feel very, very unsafe. And so over time in an unsafe relationship, you begin to develop behaviors that you think are making you more safe because you're shutting up, you're pulling away, you're practicing silence. You don't answer honestly because you know it will create a barrage of criticism if you say what you really feel. So you might find yourself agreeing with that person who makes you feel unsafe. All of that ruins the intimacy. So the intimacy I'm talking about is how close do you feel to the person that you're talking with, to the person that you're living a life in the same household with? How much can you trust that this person's going to get you, have your back, listen, be real, offer help, offer constructive criticism without ruining your peace of mind or without making you feel unsafe? So this is not about somebody always agreeing with us or always protecting our witty-bitty feelings from ever getting hurt. It's not about that. It's about how loving, how kind, how aware they are of how they are treating you, and how safe do you feel to stand up, to show up, to be yourself. Now, other episodes I've talked about, one of them that is hugely popular is the episode Standing in Your Truth. Because if you don't know how to stand in your truth and really say what you mean and mean what you say and know how you feel about something, it's very hard for someone else to make you feel safe if you're being vague and beating around the bush. And later on in the second section, I'm going to give you an example of how that can make the other person not feel safe with you if you're doing that pull-away thing and not standing in your truth. So safety in relationships becomes a huge factor in problems that couples have. It's one of the first things I look for when they come into the office. How safe are they to talk, to state their feelings? How aware are they of themselves that they can actually say what their truth is and share that? And then how well received is any kind of information? I want you to think of safety for a minute as you're tossing a ball back and forth with your partner, and you are gently tossing it right into their hands so that they can catch it. And you're tossing that back and forth, and it's going pretty well. And occasionally someone drops the ball and you pick it up and you start over and you fix it that the ball didn't get caught. That would be an example of safety. Now, let's say you're playing ball with somebody and you're slamming the ball in their face and you're throwing it high so they can't get it. And you're purposely throwing it wide so that they miss it. Or you're throwing it to hurt them and hit them with it. They feel unsafe playing ball with you. That's what happens in relationships and communication. If you are nasty how you play ball, or you are purposely trying to hurt somebody, or purposely trying to make them look stupid and fail, you're not safe to play ball with. If you are not watching, if you're not engaging, if someone's trying to play ball with you even in a gentle, loving manner, but you're turning your back, walking away, not engaging, not listening, looking somewhere else, watching the TV, and in this day and age, staring at your phone, you're not there to engage and to play ball and for the ball to go back and forth. That's another feeling of not feeling safe. When there's a lack of engagement and you're not present, that can make your partner feel unsafe. Now, not unsafe in the way like you're going to get hurt or somebody's going to beat you up or it's domestic violence, but unsafe in a way that you feel unimportant, not noticed, not listened to. And so your partner will begin to pull away and feel unsafe. So this is just real important, and you've got to recognize that safety is huge in relationships. And right along, I'll throw this in there, but we won't talk about a lot this a lot today, but part of safety in relationship is protection. When you feel safe with your partner and you know they have your back, you feel protected and like somebody's standing alongside you. You have a teammate. So safety and protection go hand in hand. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to give you some very specific examples of what creates safety or what doesn't create safety. You're going to take a break.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, prophets and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Orchard Nutrition Center presents the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. There'll be free samples, information, and education all dedicated to your health, and it's free admission. Come check out the dozens and dozens of booths, plus free educational talks in the Sundial Room with expert guest speakers all dedicated to your health. So make plans to bring your family to the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. Brought to you by Orchard Nutrition Center.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about safety in relationships today. So I told you when we came back, I wanted to give you some very specific examples of how safety can project itself into a relationship. Let me start by giving you safety in a parent-child relationship. And this is a real-life example, and I often give this one to clients when we're talking about how to make your children feel safe, safe enough to talk with you. And it's an example from my own family. When my girls were young teens, they're 5 years apart, and so when one was about 10 and the other's about 15, and my husband, Rich, who passed away, Rich used to pick them up from school. And one day he said to me, "How come you pick up the girls from school and they tell you everything? They go on and they tell you the entire story, and that they just give you all the details. And when they talk to me, I say, 'How was school today?' And they say, 'Fine.' Anything happened? No. How are you getting along with your friends? Good." He said, "They don't give me any details. Why not?" And I said, "Well, there's a reason for that." And he said, "Well, I'm listening." I said, "You're not real safe for them to talk to." And he said, "Well, yeah, I am. I'm not going to do anything that's unsafe." And I said, "No, you're not going to hurt them. You're not going to put them down. What you do when they talk to you is you take that football and you run down the field with it because you're going to fix it. And you automatically start telling them what they should do and how they should react and what they should say to that person and how you'll go to the school and you'll take care of that. And do you want me to call the kids' parents?" And I said, "They don't want to talk to you because they don't want you to fix everything and they don't want you to tell them how they should handle it." And he said, "Oh, well, yeah, I do that." He said, "But that's because I'm worried about them, and I love them, and I don't want them to be sad or hurt." And I said, "I know, but that's not what they're trying to do when they talk to you." He said, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I don't play therapist with them. What I do is I say, tell me more about that. And how did you feel about that when that happened? And what's your plan? What are you going to do when you go tomorrow? Or what did you do? What did you say to the guy? And I draw them out and I ask how it's going. And then once I've done that and I've really heard what they've said and I've drawn them out, sometimes I'll say, well, that sounds like a good plan. Let me know how that goes tomorrow. And I'm not giving them a whole lot of judgment or direction. If I see them going in a really bad direction, you know, I'm the mom, I might say, whoa, wait a minute, let's talk about that. You cannot go to school tomorrow and punch the guy in the face. I mean, they wouldn't have done that, but you know what I mean. You have to be a parent, and you have to rein it in sometimes. And so Rich said, all right, fine, I'll try. It took a year of him stopping trying to fix them, tell them what to do, grab that football and run down the field for them before they started talking to him. And there were a few times he got really frustrated and said, why is this? They still don't talk to me. And I said, it's going to take consistency over time that they don't think you're going to be critical or tell them what to do. So after a while, he did become somebody that they could go to and he could be their confidant and he could guide them better that way. So look at that from a safety point of view. You've got to be able to create an atmosphere where someone feels safe coming to you and telling you their woes or what they feel or what they're scared of. So that's an example of a parent-child thing. Let's go to what happens with men and women kind of in general a little bit. A friend of mine said this, and I just thought this was absolutely hysterical. He said, men are all about, just tell me about the baby, not the birth. And I said, that's hysterical. He said his dad taught him that. He used to say it all the time. And what do we do as women? Well, of course we want to know about the baby. But then we'll say, how was the birth? Give me the details. And we'll have a three-hour conversation about every details of the labor. And men will just be rolling their eyes and want to move over to the corner and talk about the football team. So it's a basic difference sometimes between genders. And again, not always. Nothing is ever always, okay? Because I have a really good friend who's a man who would probably want to hear all the details of the birth, but that's because he's delivered about 1,000 babies. So he would be into that. But men tend to want to keep things more surface, and women tend to want to keep things more real and more deeply emotional. And there are women that can't do real. They keep it surface, and there's men that can. I totally get that, and I see that in my life. But as a generalization, men want to hear the facts, they want to fix it, and they want to move on. They don't want to waste a whole lot of time on all the color of the story. They want the details. And women want how you felt and what's going on and what are the true emotions. I love watching behavior at parties because women will kind of gather over here and they'll be talking about their sex lives and their husbands and the reality of their relationships. And men will be over here talking about sports or fishing or hunting. And occasionally they'll throw in something like, oh, I was so stoked when I blah, blah, blah. But they're not talking about their intimate feelings regarding their relationship. So those behaviors, those differences between partners can make a relationship not as safe. So let's go with that as an example. We've got a husband who wants to keep it pretty surface, the facts only. Let's not muddy this all up with emotions. We can understand this and put it into some framework that we can deal with, and we can move on. And it's a waste of time and energy, and it's ridiculous to talk about how you feel about this or what your heart wants or how it's making you feel unsafe. You know, they don't want to talk about that. So what happens to their partner is they are feeling shut down, not heard, unimportant, usually pretty annoyed and angry, and they end up either walking away or getting frustrated or saying, fine, we'll just do it your way, or trying to stand their ground and say, no, we're not going to fix it that way. And it becomes an irritable, frustrated argument. And part of it is because each person is coming at the conversation with a different style. But that different style can create an atmosphere where both the people do not feel safe. So let's say they're standing in the middle of a football field. He wants to grab the ball and run one way and be super logical and the facts only and stop, you know, muddying this up with emotions. And she wants to take the ball and run the other way and say, we're not going to talk about how we're going to fix this until you understand how I feel about this. And they're both frustrated. And now they're at opposite ends of the field, and neither one feels safe, and neither one feels close to the other. So let's talk about another style of making your partner not feel safe. This is an example that happened with a couple that I see in therapy. She's trying to explain to him how she feels about a certain situation. And she was being kind of vague and throwing out these little innuendos. And it looked to me like she was sticking her big toe in the water trying to test the temperature. Am I going to dive in and say how I really feel? Or am I going to throw out a few vague platitudes and see if he bites? And so he was desperately trying to understand her, and so he was throwing back feedback to her as I was working with them on a communication exercise. And his feedback would be pretty surface and pretty generic, and she'd get this frustrated look on her face, and I gave him the whole, let's stop here and let's look at what's happening. I said to her, you're not saying anything of substance. You're being pretty vague and beating around the bush and not saying what you really mean, yet you're hoping and expecting that he's going to understand what you're saying. And she went, oh, yeah, I guess I am. And then I said to him, and you're not asking her to go deeper. You're accepting that she's giving you vague platitudes and you don't really understand what she's saying. But instead of you saying that, you are trying to fill in the blanks of what she means. And you're missing the boat and both of you are getting frustrated. And he said, yeah. I'm just desperately trying to understand where she's coming from, and I don't get it. And I said, there's your truth. So let's start this again. And I had her say what she'd said before. And this time he looked at her and he said, I really don't understand what you're trying to say. Can you be more specific, or can you give me an example, or can you elaborate on how you feel about that, because I'm not getting this. Then the conversation started to take off. And one of the things that he gave to her was permission to express how she felt, say it in a way until he could understand it. He let her know that he was deeply listening because they were doing this communication exercise, and that communication is available in the archives on KCNR and in the podcast. It's called Communication Basics. So go to that and learn the basics of this exercise. And as he began to request that she go deeper and make her feel safe in saying it, she started to go deeper and do a better job at explaining herself. And that was really cool. So when you want somebody to make you feel safe in a relationship, you have to ask for that. You have to create your side of the conversation. And one of the techniques I give people for creating that is a grounding technique where you go to your partner and you say to them, can I talk to you about something difficult? I want to share something with you that I've been feeling or I've been thinking or that's been going on for a while. And I'm truly not trying to be mean or hurt your feelings. I want to share with you what's happening so that we can hopefully fix it. That's a grounding statement. And that says, I'm coming to you with honesty and truth, and I want this to be a productive conversation. The answer to that from a good partner is, absolutely, you can talk to me about anything, and I will listen and try to understand what you're saying, and then we will figure it out, and we'll work on this. So she's asking for safety, or he, whoever comes first, is asking for safety, asking not to make a big drama scene out of what's going to be talked about, and not assuming that she's trying to hurt your feelings. And the other partner is creating that safe space that says, yes, I will deeply listen. I will seek to understand before I seek to be understood. Everything slows down and it goes really well. It goes much better, especially if you use the communication basic techniques. Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to give you some very clear steps on how to create safety. Going to break.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 244th birthday, Sunday, November 10th at the Wind River Casino and Resort. All are invited to attend this year's ceremony, which includes dinner and dancing, and enjoy the traditional ceremony, including presentation of the birthday cake, honoring the oldest and youngest Marine, missing in action remembrance, the pipes and drums, and music to dance to. Contact Mike Gutierrez at 530-524-7595 for invitations and more information. The 244th United States Marine Corps birthday. Hoorah!
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck for you? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
This broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell was previously recorded.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you are listening to the incredibly beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. Randy has won multiple awards for his Native American flute music. He is Cherokee native, speaks fluent Cherokee, and just is an incredible musician who plays from his heart. You can hear more of Randy's Native American flute music on Spotify, iTunes. You can buy his music on Amazon, CD Baby. You can go to his website, randymcginnis.com, and check out his 6 CDs. And we deeply appreciate him letting us use his peaceful and beautiful music on this radio show. So we're talking about safety in relationships. And my hope for all of you out there is that you're going to really take a deep look at, first off, how safe do you feel in your relationship? And on that spectrum of way on one side, just feeling criticized and not really able to speak your truth, and way on the other side, being physically endangered, domestic violence, you know, not being safe from a lethal sort of standpoint, or anything in between. So how safe do you feel in your relationship? And then what I want you to stop and do is look at yourself. How safe do you make your partner feel? And there's some ways to make your partner feel more safe. And there's are ways for you to ask for these behaviors from your partner so that you feel safe. So the first thing is to sit down and say, how safe do I feel? All right. So one of the very first things that happens when you try to make someone feel safe enough to talk to you is to deeply listen. And my phrase for that is seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And in order for that to happen, you've got to listen to what they're saying. You're trying to form a picture of what they're talking about. If you don't get it, you're asking for clarification. You might ask for an example of what they mean. And let me give you the difference between helping someone feel safe and being not nice. That's not how that wanted to come out of my mouth, but I'm on the radio, and my producer will beat me if I said it the other way. So how do you respond to somebody? They're telling you that they're upset about something. They're being kind of vague. They're going all over the map. You're not really catching what they're saying. And you look at them and say, come on. Give me an example. Tell me when I did that. I never did that. Tell me when I did that. That is not exactly a phrase that will make the person feel safe enough to explain it to you. Now, let's try that a different way. They're being vague. They're going all over the place. They're not making much sense to you. And you say, look, I'm trying really hard to understand what you're saying, and I'm listening, but I'm not getting it. Can you give me an example so that I can kind of catch what you're saying? Because I don't want to respond until I understand what it is you're trying to tell me. One makes you feel like, oh, okay, let me give you an example. The other one makes you feel like you want to run away because the person's taking it personally. They're getting upset. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that does not make someone feel safe in a conversation. So that first thing to help someone feel safe is to deeply listen. The other thing is try to have some acceptance and not judgment. Let's say someone's trying to tell you how you've hurt their feelings. And instead of getting all defensive and trying to prove to them why they're wrong and they shouldn't feel that way, you give them feedback. And if you go back to Communication Basics on that podcast and that archives in KCNR, there's a thing called feedback. When they talk to you, you come back to them with what you understood them to say. And again, you don't do it in that sarcastic, negative, demeaning tone. You say, okay, I'm getting it that you're telling me that this is happening. And you're deeply listening and trying to understand it. So the thing that makes people feel most unsafe in relationships is that sarcastic, demeaning, judgmental lack of acceptance. When that is what you bring to the conversation, you are not going to have a safe dialogue where, picture that ball that's going gently back and forth, and you're truly trying to help your partner catch the ball, not miss it. Criticism, judgment, anger, taking it personally, getting super frustrated, getting defensive, throwing in a lot of sarcastic, nasty comments is like slamming the ball back in their face. You're not trying to have a gentle lobbing of the ball back and forth where each person can catch it and create a rhythm going. You are being mean. And being mean, being defensive, being angry kills the safety in the conversation. So deep listening, acceptance, and trying not to have all the answers. That go back to the idea of how Rich would try to fix the girls when they would talk to him. That did not make them want to talk to him. You're not coming to somebody to share your feelings or talk about what's going on for them to grab that football and run down the field and fix it for you. That just makes you feel violated. And they're basically telling you, you're not doing this right and I can do it for you. Men often have a problem with that. And I'm not trying to be sexist because there are some women that do the same thing. But men often have a problem with allowing the problem to sit there and allowing the person to fix it for themselves. They see a solution and they want to jump right in there, fix it, and then leave me alone. Let me turn the news back on. Be quiet. You're bugging me. So back to that thing. Just tell me what sex the baby was and not about the birth. I don't want to know about it. So that's what happens to shut down a feeling of safety. The other thing is you have to be clear in what you're saying. You can't be beating around the bush. You can't throw the ball super high up in the air and expect the person to catch it when the sun's shining in their eyes. They don't get it. So be clear. The other thing is to state your intention. And when you state your intention to ground yourself, like, I want to have a conversation with you. I really am not trying to hurt your feelings. I want to have a productive conversation. But I have something to say that might feel critical to you, and I'm not doing it to hurt you. That's a grounded statement, and it's done briefly, a sentence or two. All right. When your partner starts to behave in a way that shuts you down, frustrates you, you feel yourself rising up or getting angry, you want to stand up and pace around, you want to give them examples how they do the same thing, you want to turn the conversation back on them, it's really important that you stop and you say, I don't feel like you're hearing me, and I'm feeling unsafe in this conversation because you're getting so angry and critical, and you're putting me down. It doesn't make me want to talk with you. The other thing about safety in conversations is, just like any other really important communication, it is best talked about when it is not happening. So if you've gone to your partner and you're trying to have an important conversation and they're rising up and getting critical and demeaning and angry and making you feel unsafe, that's probably not where you're going to have the best conversation about safety. So right now, while you're listening to this show and you're saying, God, I don't feel unsafe. I feel unsafe in my relationship. I can't talk to my partner about anything. He or she goes off on me, tells me how I'm wrong, tries to fix it, gets critical and demeaning and judgmental and starts to put me down. I feel totally unsafe with my partner. The best time to talk about it is to go to your partner when it's not happening and say, I want to talk to you about something important. Now, you might say, I want you to sit down and listen to the show with me. That would be a start. Or you can just come out with it and say, when I try to talk to you about important things, I feel unsafe. And if they start to go off on you right then and say, you're not unsafe, I've never hit you, blah, 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 you can say, no, wait, hear me out, please. I have trouble talking to you because you get critical, you try to fix it, you put me down, it pulls me away from you. So the other clue in whether someone feels safe with you or not is to watch their body language. When they're leaning into you, when they're making eye contact with you, when they're truly leaning toward you, you can feel that they feel safe. If they're moving away, if they're sitting back crossing their arms, if they're trying to do some kind of protective posture or stance that's even subtle, not huge, you can say, am I listening to you in a way that makes you feel safe? Are you okay with how we're talking right now? And then listen to what they say. Because so often I see that in my office, and I stop the conversation and ask the person, how are you feeling right now? And the person often says, he or she's doing what they always do, taking over the conversation, putting me down, telling me how I'm stupid and I'm not seeing it right. And they have all the answers. They're frickin' know-it-all, and I can't get a word in edgewise. And that's what I was observing happen in the session. So I point that out, and I call them on it, and they begin to see their own behavior. So using I language, expressing how you feel, asking the person how they feel, letting them talk, creating that vision of a gentle ball going back and forth that is safe to catch, all right? That creates the safety in a relationship. And why is it important to create safety in a relationship? If you just want to hear about the baby, not the birth, why do you care if your partner feels safe? Depends on if you want to have a close, loving, intimate relationship with your partner. And I'm not talking about sex, although the best sex in relationships happens when there is true, deep intimacy. I'm talking about that feeling where you can tell your partner anything, they're your best friend, you can lean into them, and you can create that intimacy that you want to have in your relationship. It starts with safety. And it comes with the safety that's created between two people. When intimacy is destroyed, I can tell you in my office, in all the years I've been doing private practice, when the intimacy is destroyed, the safety is also not there. The people don't feel heard or seen or understood. And they pull away. And there's a wall between two people. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about how to use safety to build intimacy. All right, we'll be back after the break.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200. KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about safety in relationships. You're listening to Randy McGinnis play Native American flute. Such a beautiful instrument and so beautifully played by this man. Okay, so I want to give you some more of a flavor of how safety in relationships builds intimacy. And lack of safety in relationships kills intimacy. So I want to give you a beautiful example of something that happened in a session. A couple was trying to talk about, we were working on their communication and how that worked for them, because they were often missing the boat on feeling like they had gotten somewhere in a conversation. So what I had them do was we took the communication exercise that I teach in Communication Basics, that other podcast, that other archive on KCNR, and I had them say something they really liked about the other person. And because I didn't want to work on the communication skills with something super controversial. So we worked on it with something that was positive. What do you really like about your partner? And we worked on them being clear and expressing themselves well and giving productive examples that let them really understand what they were trying to say. And in this exchange back and forth, they were gently lobbing that ball and they were really trying to catch it and they were trying to do the best they could. And what was happening is they still weren't connecting. You could see that the conversation was doing nothing for them. And they were talking about nice stuff. Imagine if they were talking about something really difficult. So I stopped them and I looked at him and I said, I want to share with you something that you're doing. She's talking to you and she's trying to She's trying to express to you how she feels about something she really appreciates about you. And when you're giving her feedback, you're giving her this kind of intellectual feedback where you say, I think that you're right and I appreciate what you're saying. And you sound very clinical. And
you sound like a boss talking to an employee and keeping it really professional. And he said, oh, what do you want me to do? And I said, I want you to get out of your head. This is your wife. This is somebody that you deeply love. This is someone that you are here trying to build a better relationship with because you guys have gotten so distant from each other that you've been falling apart. And they've been married for a very long time. They love each other. They're committed to their family. But they have just been drifting apart. They're both unhappy. They're both frustrated. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, stop talking to her like she's a customer or an employee or something like that. Deeply listen to her. And then tell her how you feel about this. Speak from your heart. And, you know, he's a guy's guy, and he's like, oh, well, you want me to go touchy-feely? And I said, yeah. Do you think that's what she wants? And she's sitting there nodding her head going, yeah, I feel like you withhold from me. You don't tell me how you really feel. You always tell me what you think. And he's looking a little confused because I think that men often feel like that's the most efficient way to have a conversation. It's not about how you feel. It's about what you think and whether you're right or not, whether you should do it my way or not. And so he said, okay, so I said, let's try this again. So she expressed to him something she deeply appreciated about him. And he said in a much more feeling way that he really appreciated how she loved him and how she saw him and appreciated how he tried to be with the family, and he got a little bit emotional with it. And you could see her begin to lean into him. And so then, I mean, that was a good start because she felt like they were connecting and like she was being heard. So then it was his turn to tell her something that he really liked about her. And again, he kept it kind of surface. And basically said, I really appreciate how much you do and keep our family running. And he was pretty pragmatic about it. And so her response to him was pretty dry back. So you appreciate that I keep the house running and I pay the bills and I take care of the kids and you appreciate that. And so I said to him, wait a minute, everybody stop. And I told her not to move. I said, look at her body language. What is she saying to you? And he says, well, she pulled back in the chair. And I said, yeah, she was leaning forward and listening to you when you first started talking. And then her face kind of went deadpan, and she pulled back, and she parroted back what you said. But there was no sense of emotion in there. So then I said to her, how did you feel about what he said? And she got into saying what she felt, that she just felt that he didn't get her, that he didn't understand her importance, that she felt insignificant and like he could hire the things done that she did. And she's always felt like she doesn't contribute to the family. What she does is not valuable. And he heard that, and it was really kind of beautiful because then he spoke from his heart, and he told her, no, that's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you we wouldn't be us without you. Our family wouldn't be who we are without the love and the care and the presence that you put into me and the family. And he started crying. And then she started crying. And then he reached out and took her hand. And all of a sudden they were having a beautiful conversation because he was speaking from his heart and she was opening up about how she really felt. And you could see the intimacy between them. And so I asked her something really important. I said, how do you feel about him right now? And she said, well, I love him. And I said, we're not even here because you guys don't love each other. We know you love each other. She said, I really like him. And I don't think I've liked him for a very long time. And right now he's like somebody I want to talk more to because he just got what I felt. And you could just feel the love and the intimacy between them. And it was created because the safety of that conversation allowed them both to be who they really were. So I sent them back with homework, and he is to speak from his heart. She is to be more clear and not be vague. And he's to watch her body language and see what she expresses to him with her emotions, with her pulling back and looking away and her facial expression changing its interest. When we create safety in a relationship, we have established the groundwork for reality, for real feelings and real heartfelt interaction to occur because it is safe. The way you kill that safety is by being a know-it-all, having all the answers, telling the person they're stupid, putting them down, being judgmental, not listening, taking the ball and running down the field, which is my version of saying you're just going to fix the problem so that it doesn't have to be on the table anymore, getting irritated and frustrated, staring at your phone, looking away, walking away. When they don't agree with you, shutting them out, putting them down, doing love withdrawal. That's a whole nother show that's on the podcast and on KCNR archives. It's called Love Withdrawal. Those are ways that you shut off safety in a relationship. If you want to feel intimate with your partner in an emotional sense, you've got to create the safety. When that's there, you begin to feel the best friend feeling. You begin to feel that intimacy, that leaning toward each other. You feel like the other person gets you. That creates the foundation for a really good sex life. Because people say intimacy and they automatically think sex. The best foreplay for before you're ever sexual with your partner, the best foreplay is touching hearts. That intimacy that is created by creating a safe interaction between the two of you. So the bottom line here in your relationship, if you feel unsafe, you need to begin to find a way to explain that to your partner. Best done when it's not happening. But know how you feel and know what are the things that make you feel unsafe so you can talk about it. If your communication is really, really poor, you probably need a tour guide. You need a therapist. You need somebody good at what they do with this to help you fix the unhealthy communication happening between the two of you. So know that your partner probably won't leave you if your intimacy in the bedroom is not great, but they may end up pulling away and leaving you if there isn't intimacy between you and your communication, because that's where they feel the most unsafe. And then just a caution on domestic violence. If you feel unsafe, you know that there's one safe place. There are women's shelters. There are places you can go to get help with domestic violence. But let's try to create some safety in relationships. We're going to end this show with the entire song that was written and produced by my daughter, Tara Bay Bedford. And it's called We Can't Do This Forever. The music was written by Jimmy Bryant, Bruce Turgeon, Rick Hill, Richard Bay, Tara's dad, my husband that passed away, is the drummer on the song, which is just special to all of us. So listen to the words in this song. We can't do this forever. So this is Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell, and let's heal the world 1 hour at a time.
Remember a time when we thought we made it.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.